This is Nayeli Alvarez, and you are listening to ASISU Speaks, where we showcase our brightest and most brilliant Bengals and amplify their roar to the world. This week, we will be interviewing Samantha Winslow, Senator for the College of Arts and Letters and Senior in Graphic Design in the Communications, Media, and Persuasion Department here at ISU. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Even better now that I finally get to see you again after months.
It's like nice having interaction. I kind of forgot how to talk to people, though. But we'll get there.
We'll get there, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. It's been hard trying to do the adjust from being such an extroverted, always out talking to people person to adjusting to Zoom.
Yeah. No, I feel like an old person whenever I use Zoom. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, how do I share my screen? But we'll get there, you know.
So we'll get there. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. This school year, I've already had some difficulties, like, adjusting to technology. But I don't know. We're Zoomers, I think is the coin term for us. So we should be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited to be here with you because I've been working with you for, like, 2 years now.
Yeah.
Even before you were a student here at ISU. So tell us a little bit about your backstory. How did you get here?
So I went to a community college in Twin Falls called College of Southern Idaho. I was a senator there for 2 years, and I really wanted to work with outreach and stuff, even though that wasn't my thing at all. I was like the student body treasurer when I reached out to you and the rest of ASISU 2 years ago. So I just wanted to improve communications, I guess, between like BSU here and like U of I, because I feel like we all kind of struggled with not a ton of visibility for student government when really we're here to like serve the students. So yeah, after doing that project with you, where we kind of like tried to do like a big conference call with all the schools, I was like, I have to come here. Like, I want to help like ASISU be successful. And I was actually going to come here to be an elementary teacher, but I realized I didn't have enough patience for children. So
honestly, though, same. I mean, shout out to every parent out there and everybody who watches kids, because that is such a intense unpaid labor job.
Oh, absolutely. Like, don't get me wrong. I love kids. I love teaching. I think it's a beautiful thing. But just 30 at a time was a little bit much for me. So yeah, I've always had a passion for art. So I was like, graphic design, here we are. And now here I am.
And so here you are. Yeah, and so that project that we worked on together with, like, the increasing communication between student governments, I thought it was really awesome that you jumped on with me on that, just because, one, I feel like every college in Idaho, regardless of, like, where we're at, we're all kind of going through the same issues. We were all going through recruitment issues. We were going through how to keep club retention up. Mm-hmm. And just how to keep students engaged and how to best bang for their buck. So the fact that, like, we started that communication chain, it was the first time ever done, at least in our Idaho history.
Yeah, same at CSI. And I know the current student body president, so at CSI right now, I'm going to be reaching out to him and see if he has, like, a senator that wants to kind of work on this with me, because I really want to continue it. I think it's a good idea. But, you know, technology's not our friend sometimes. Yeah, it's a mess, man. We'll get there one day, though.
Yeah, so besides just being a senator, you are probably one of the most talented photographers I've ever seen. And I was just thinking, because I've been following Sam on Instagram and her photography page. And if you want, I can link it.
Yes, please.
Yes, I'll put a link in her little description. But just one thing I've noticed, you do a lot of photography work that, like, works really well with people of color and diversity. Like, I've noticed that when you get, like, a black or brown person, you get colors that actually look really good on them. And the way you edit doesn't make them look washed out. And just thought that, what's your process with, like, doing that?
So I actually got into photography because I used to model. So when I was in high school, I was, like a model for, like, local photographers in Twin Falls. And they also washed out my skin, like, being a person, like, of color, even though I am biracial. Like, it's hard when I feel like that part of myself is being erased. So there was one photographer, though, who I worked with that didn't wash out my skin, and he's, like, he lives in Vegas now, so I'm so proud of him. Mm-hmm. But I kind of, like, reached out to him, and I was like, hey, how did you edit my skin like that? Because I look like myself still. And then I really, like, I felt good when I was in front of the camera, and I'm like, I want to make other people feel like this. So that's kind of how I got my start into it. But I really like Lightroom and, like,
yes.
Photoshop and stuff, you know, like, that's the only things I use. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like erasing anyone's identity, because I feel like that's a problem, like, in the photography world that I see a lot. Like, a lot of people get, like, their skin washed out, and I've been kind of, like, modeling for a few photographers here. Luckily, no one's washed out my skin yet, so let's keep it that way, Pocatello.
Let's keep it that way. And you're leading that march. I just haven't seen very many local, like, photographers who can do that. Like, if I look back to my senior pictures, I was photoshopped out to, like, I was literally glowing with no eyebrows.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, and that's what's hanging on my family wall right now. And it's just really refreshing. I always just go through your pictures, and you photoshop them in such a really great, like, oh, man, how do I wish I could describe this. I'm just going to link it. You guys go check out her Instagram. Her photography is phenomenal.
Here's a plug for myself. I'm going to do a giveaway when I get 1,250 followers. So please, I usually follow back too.
And it is worth it.
Thank you.
Besides photography, you are a graphic designer as well.
Yes.
So what got you into that? What got you from teaching to graphic design?
So when I was in high school, in Idaho, we have to do, like, the senior project, you know. I don't know how it is in every other county, but in Twin Falls, it was pretty intensive. We had to do 40 hours with it. And so my senior project was to research art therapy and talk about why it's a valid thing and apply it to teaching. So I volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club in Twin Falls. I taught them two art projects. And I was like, wow, this is so much fun. And seeing the kids who even don't like art had fun with it, you know.
What were the projects?
So, you know that one where you, like, glue on crayons onto a canvas and melt it.
Yes.
So yeah, I got the power knocked out for like 2 hours, but the kids had so much fun. So yeah, and then I got hired after that, which is really weird. Yeah, sorry, I made your power go out. Can I have a job? And they were like, yeah. So and I was like, all right. And then the other project was I kind of wanted to work both sides of the brain with it. So I had them like use Elmer's glue, paint, and then something onto the canvas, and when it was dry, put watercolor over it because the watercolor would separate it so they could see like their invisible design. So, yeah, so it was really fun. And the kids were so much fun to work with. So I've always been passionate about art. Like, since I've been, like, 14 in high school, I was, like, that kid who would just eat, like, their lunch in the art room, you know. And so what made me switch from teaching was, like I said, I just realized I didn't have the patience for it, you know. And, like, mad respect to anyone who can. Like, I think that's incredible. Like, 10 kids, I think, for me at a time is my max. So, in high school, I also took, like, graphic design courses, and I always thought, yeah, this would be a nice thing if teaching didn't work out, and it was.
It was a great fallback.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just really cool. I interned at United Way here for my first internship, and it was nice because United Way of Southeast Idaho, they focused on, like, helping kids, like, break that cycle of, like, poverty, and, like, education's a big thing that helps with them, so it was kind of nice to design things for them with something I'm super passionate about.
That's freaking awesome. Thank I remember you. When you got that internship and just how excited you were to get it.
Oh, dude, I love working with nonprofits. I mean, I worked at the Boys and Girls Club in Twin for like over a year and a half. And
oh, what'd you do there?
So, I was like a program mate, so I kind of helped like assist things and stuff. But like there's so much more to that job, like just being able to make a difference in these kids' lives. Because even when I go back to Twin, when I wear my mask and stuff, I still see some of them in public. I can't hug them, but we'll do like the elbow like dive thing. So yeah, I don't know. It's just cool to like impact their lives and, you know, stuff like that and just hang out with them, you know. So
yeah, and I think that is a little bit more I guess accessible for someone who can't handle 30 kids at once.
Oh, for sure. Because like like when I was working at the Boys and Girls Club, I was dealing with over 300 kids, you know. And so when I had like my little groups and stuff, it was nice to interact with them one-on-one, like, hey, what's up, how's your day going? So like leading a classroom, I realized then wasn't for me because I did get promoted there, and leading the classroom and like writing the lesson plan was like way, way too much, especially with, I was going to CSI at the time too. I was like taking 20 credits.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it was a lot, you know. So, but hey, you know, I'm a lot happier now, and I know that I can always go back and see them. And I don't know if anyone ever has any questions about like how to interact with kids. I'm always there to help them. So it's really nice, you know.
Yes, I'm probably going to be coming to you once I get to that age where my friends start having more kids.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, so what's been, I guess, like the most exciting change from going from CSI to ISU?
Oh, man. I think seeing, like, more diversity on campus. CSI was pretty diverse, but, like, I've just met so many people here, you know? And I also think maybe, like, stepping away from a community college and stepping away from my hometown, because I grew up in Twin Falls, and as much as I love that little town, I needed to get out and do something new, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it was also nice seeing, like, the atmosphere, I guess. Like, CSI was very personal, and I did love that. But I kind of wanted to get out of that because I'm like, all right, I had enough of that in high school. Like, yeah. I want to be, like, an independent adult. So
living on my own.
Yeah, living on my own. I can eat Taco Bell at 1 a.m. Who can stop me? Nobody.
Dude, I feel like in quarantine, I've just been eating like fast food
It's all right, man.
Yeah, I just feel like I've been eating a lot of fast food, and it's just that's my only option. Like, I just drive down the hill and it's T-Bell or McDonald's.
Yeah. Well, it's, like, also hard, too, because, like, when ISU shut down, I don't know how accessible Benny's Pantry was for people who, like, lived on campus, you know? I don't even feel like a lot of people know about Benny's Pantry.
Yeah, so. And I know Benny's Pantry did by appointment, mm-hmm. but... Actually, I got a lot of emails from the university talking about Benny's Pantry. I'm not sure how many people actually saw that just because, you know, once we went all online, everything was in email form.
Yeah.
But I've personally used Benny's Pantry a few times just like, and it's, they have great stuff there. Like,
yeah, I think it's a great resource. And like one of the things I want to do as like a senator is like raise awareness for those like services that we have on campus, because I knew about that when I went to CSI, you know, like CSI had like Gilbert's Pantry because that was their name of their mascot and all these other things that ISU has. But then when I come here and like I talk to some of my friends who came here right away, you know, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, we have that. And I'm like, you've been here longer than I have. Like, how do you not know it? Like, there's so many things that like students can use, you know, like College of Tech does like oil changes and stuff. And you got like.
This really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
What?
Yeah, so no, because they have like the mechanic program. So
I didn't know they did that.
Ayush told me that. Shout out to my president. So.
Shout out President Ja, just out here getting us oil changes. Yeah. Shout out College of Tech. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Like, and you know, we have the psychology clinic here and like the disability services and the counseling services, which I recommend that everyone goes to at least once. It's free if you're a student. So
highly recommend. The counselors here are phenomenal.
They really are. Like, it's just been so helpful during quarantine and stuff. Cause,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you feel like you're going crazy, but you're really not, you know, like everyone's kind of going crazy right now, but it's not like a bad thing. Like, we all just need help sometimes.
Yeah. And it's just nice to talk to someone to just reassure you that, you know, you're not falling off the edge.
Yeah. Like
2020 is just wild.
I just knew when Justin Bieber released Yummy, it was just going to go downhill from after that.
I remember that. That was since then, like, nothing's been good.
Yeah, I just heard, like, part of the song, like, on TikTok, and I was like, yo, 14-year-old me is, like, crying right now. Not the good kind. This is bad.
This is bad, and they got paid millions to do this song.
Oh, my gosh,
but
yeah.
That's neither here nor there, you know?
I know.
I'm still a believer.
Yeah, no,
just not with Yummy.
Just not with Yummy, man. That was... That should have stayed in the drafts, you know?
Yeah. Since that got released, just nothing. It feels like the Fire Nation attacked, but...
Yeah. I started watching Avatar, too.
Yes.
I've never... Like, even when I was growing up, I never watched it.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even just, like, catching episodes?
No, I didn't have cable growing up, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm like, check my privilege right now.
Yeah, if you had cable... Y'all had privilege.
Yeah, cable was freaking expensive. Like, and then even besides that, just like, you gotta get a TV. You gotta pay for that extra electricity.
No, I remember PBS, man.
Yes.
Betra Tharfruff, man. That was my...
I love that show. I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, I sometimes get the song stuck in my head. Just,
yeah, like, Ruff, Ruff, man. Yeah, like, I remember I heard the song and I was like, was that a fever dream?
But why is that so, like, prominent in my head? Like,
they made it catchy, man. They knew what they were doing.
And that jazz, like, undertones. Oh, like, yeah. Yes. Shout out to all the jazz students out there, because it is probably the most sexy sounding music.
I feel like jazz is like super underappreciated too.
Yeah.
Like it's really nice and we need to learn how to appreciate it more. So
yeah, appreciate other music.
Oh, for sure. So yeah, because K-pop's pretty cool. I bashed on them for the longest time.
But. I did too. And then I started listening to some and I'm just like, you know what? This ain't really that bad. It's pretty, like, poppy. It's pretty EDM-y.
Yeah, it kind of slaps.
It really does. It's, like, nice to just, like, clean to and just, okay.
Yeah.
To work out to.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of nice because I have, like, a bad habit of, like, singing along to everything to the point where it's annoying. I'm like, I can't sing along to this because I don't know what they're saying, so. And I don't want to try it and, like, butcher another language, so.
Right, and you can just hum along.
Oh, yeah.
If you are just joining us, my name is Nayeli Alvarez, and you have been listening to ASISU Speaks. Today, we have been joined by Samantha Winslow, Senator for the College of Arts and Letters and Senior studying Graphic Design and the Communications, Media, and Persuasion Department. Latina, actually. I'm not a bad Latina. I need to get that thought out of my head.
No, you're a good Latina.
I am a good Latina. I just can't speak Spanish.
No, that's all right. You know, like, I mean, it's really hard, too, because I feel like learning another language, a lot of, like, places do that. And get taught that at a really young age, but something that we don't do here, unfortunately. So it's really hard because I tried taking like a Spanish class in high school and 2 years, like, you know?
Yeah, and it's I guess just really proper Spanish, you know, because I'm a second gen, and I'm Cuban and Mexican, and when my stepdad was in my family, he was from New York, so we had like 3 to 4 different types of like Spanish slang going on. And when I came home with my Spanish homework, it was literally just like beginning like English or beginning Spanish, and they're like, I've never had to spell this out in my life. Like, all of them had a different way to say it, and it was just frustrating for me, just because I'm like, I feel like I missed out on like that part of my culture. But it's also, you know, it's really hard to learn a new language once you're already like grown and assimilated. And
oh, absolutely. Like, I don't, like, it's hard because I understand, like, also being biracial. It's like, it's hard when you don't know the other side of your culture that well, and you feel like you're like not representing it. But then I've always kind of reminded myself, like, hey, I'm still half Filipino. I don't know the language. It's okay. As long as I'm appreciating and respecting my other cultures, it's fine. And I feel like, I feel like if you're biracial and also struggling with that, you are valid.
So. You are valid. That's probably the one thing that I struggled with just growing up here, because I'm Black. I'm a Black Latina. And that is not seen around here.
No, it's not. Like, I remember growing up in Twin Falls, too. Like, a lot of it was, like, Caucasian people just trying to figure out what I was, you know? And it's like,
I'm like, I'm me?
Yeah, it's like, why does my race, like, matter and stuff? But, like, you know,
why do I need to prove it to you? I felt like I always had to prove that I was Mexican enough, and just because I was too dark or I didn't speak Spanish, I'm like, I don't need to prove anything to you. Like, I am what I am.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Like, growing up, like, half Filipino, like, it was, I did things that, like, were weird and, like, I guess considered in American culture. Like, I feel like Filipinos are very, like, just blunt. They'll tell you how it is, you know? Like, I would, like, grow up just telling people, like, hey, like, that doesn't look good on you and stuff, not knowing that wasn't, like, super acceptable, you know? Right. And it's, like, it's just a culture difference, and I do wish we had, like, a little bit more education growing up on it, just because I feel like now it's, like, especially in these trying times, it's all
trying
times. I feel like it's really hard for people to kind of grasp that if they haven't been exposed to other cultures, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really, like, harmful to everyone on both sides, because those people who didn't learn about the cultures, and if they go somewhere else besides Idaho, they're not gonna know as well, like, how other cultures function. And then people who are, like, a different culture, if they grow up, like, in Idaho or another place where white's the majority, it's really hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah, all my culture I had was just whatever we could make at home, just whatever mixed little culture that we could bring home. So, like, I was raised Catholic, and then we didn't really go to church, but we still celebrated Christmas. We still, like, kind of just had, like, the, I guess, just, like, the Mexican wholeness, where it's just, like, we always had family over. It was always just big parties. Like, I had my quinceañera, but I was going to an American high school, and like, just little cultural things I've been able to, like, keep for myself. But there was also just a lot of, like, shunning, I guess, from, like, my culture. From one, just being in a place where there isn't that diversity. You're either white or you're Mexican, and there's kind of, like, no in between here.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. Like, yeah, like, a lot of my friends who were, like, also biracial were, like, half Mexican and half, like, white. And I saw them, like, struggle with that, too. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so sad, because you can be both and stuff, you know? It shouldn't be one or the other. It should never be one or the other, because, like, the world is so big and there's so many places, you know? Like, why should you limit yourself to one thing?
Yeah. So, and it's, like, nice to, like, just keep that thought. Just if you're kind of just like, oh, this is weird, this makes me uncomfortable, it's probably just because you're not familiar with it.
Yes, exactly.
Ask yourself why that's bothering you.
Yeah, like, my sister's going to New York for school. She's, like, boarding her flight right now, actually.
Oh!
So, yeah, it's just, and I'm so excited for her because, like, she's, like, 17 and she realizes that there's more out there and she needs to experience that, you know? So I'm like, good on you, man, for realizing that at a young age, so.
Yeah. I think one of the best things you can do is moving away from your hometown, regardless how far.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, what, we're only, like, I'm only 45 minutes away from my hometown. You're, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But it's, like, you come to Pocatello, and it's, like, I talk about Pocatello, like, this all in every show, but it's just such a hidden gem.
It truly is. Like, I was, like, surprised with, like, more, like, they have more diverse restaurants here than Twin. Twin just had, like, a lot of fast food and a lot of chains, and it's nice, you know? Like, if
you need quick meals.
Yeah. I've never seen an Indian restaurant before, you know? And, like, it's insane to me. Like, you know, they had, like, a Nepalese restaurant here as well. And
yeah, and they have the store. What's the store? It's a Nepalese store, right? And it's right by Goodies. Like, yeah. I've never, in Idaho, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, me too. It's just, I mean, I still have to go. I mean, I was going to try it this year, but
you know.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's so, on the to-do list, but we will try.
Yeah, we'll get there one day, you know. And it's just, it's incredible seeing all this, like, diversity and stuff. Because when I grew up in Twin 2, I remember we had, like, a lot of people from Nepal coming in. And I just never really saw them after that. And when I came back here, like, I met, like, a lot of people from Nepal. I'm like, yeah, like, diversity.
Yeah, and they're, like, in the community. Like, they're actually, like,
involved.
And yeah. You're just like, wow, I actually get to interact with, like, all these different, like, people from around the world. And it's, I don't know, it's natural. It doesn't feel like it's, like, that forced diversity that some places give you that feel,
yeah.
You know?
But it's, like, very genuine and very authentic. Yeah.
Like, 99% of the people I've met in, like, my 4 to 5 years living in Pocatello have been phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I haven't really met anyone that I, like, strongly dislike. Like, everyone here. I was surprised with the campus. I was very nervous to come here at first. I'm like, I'm going to be starting over, essentially, because when I came here, that's when I switched my major, you know? I was like, I'm going to be starting over. I don't know how I'm going to make friends because I'm going to be in classes with people who are younger than me, but it wasn't the case at all, which was I'm very, very thankful for.
Yeah. I just remember our first class together was Kirk Young's intro.
Oh, man. What
intro
a class.
Intro to photo class. Yeah. I love you, Kirk. We miss you. But yeah, that class was a doozy, and I definitely would have failed without you. But so thank you for teaching me how to do basic functions in Photoshop. Like,
it's not like I have a minor degree in teaching. So if anyone out there needs tutoring, I have an associate's in education. So
just plug it, Sam. Just
I'm plugging everything, man. But yeah, no, I really liked that class, and I liked, I don't know, learning about everyone. I didn't expect that from a university class to have that sense of community, yet also having that same sense of independence, you know?
Yeah, and it was just, you know, because we're all starting off learning Adobe products, and if you've never used, like, Adobe software, it's very overwhelming when you first get to it.
Oh, but absolutely.
Once you learn one, you pretty much learn them all.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, I've used Adobe since, like, high school, and I'm still learning things every day. Like, if you, I don't know. I wish people weren't so hard on themselves when they're learning new things.
Yeah.
You learn something every day.
In that class, Kirk made sure to make us, like, know, just, like, whatever you turn into me, that is your work, and you should be proud of it. Whatever level you're at, you are learning. You should never be hard on yourself for learning a new skill.
Yeah. I remember one of the things he commented on mine. And, it, like, you know, it's been a year and I still remember it. He was like, I could tell you put your heart and your soul into this. Thank you. And that made me so happy because I feel like that's what creating is. You know, you got to put your heart and your soul into it. You got to be passionate about it. Otherwise, people are going to know. And it's just not going to impact the same.
Yeah. Oh, man. I got chills. Just, like, now I'm thinking about all the amazing comments that he left on all my work. And I just, I don't know, of like, all our professors in our department, because we're in the same department.
Yeah.
It's really cool just how it works, because even though I'm studying public relations and Sam's in graphic design, all our classes overlap, and we pretty much get to learn graphic design. You get to learn photo editing. You get to learn videography. You get to learn public relations, advertising, journalism.
Yeah.
Like, all of it together. So it's, like, awesome that I get to interact with all the artists, and I get to learn kind of just how to make my art come to life with my words so I can describe it to graphic designers.
Yeah.
Y'all have a hard job. The amount of times I've had to come to you, like, I have an idea. Can you make it with my vague instructions?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it also helps, too, that I'm, like, a people pleaser. Like,
yes.
I, like, when people describe something, I'm like, I know what you want. I got you. Because, like, so my mom is from the Philippines, and I think kind of growing up in that, where English was her second language, I've kind of had to, I don't know how to explain it, because I'm not trying to, like, sound, like, demeaning and stuff, but I know, like, having a second language, it is a little bit hard, and you're not going to be as fluent as a native speaker, but sometimes she would say something, and I'm like, oh, she means that, I gotcha, so
yeah.
We all kind of have that too, you know, so hope that didn't offend anyone.
No, I know, that makes sense. I also don't know how to describe, like, what you just said, but that is probably the best example.
Yeah, because I have that issue too, where I don't know how to describe something that I want, but then I explain it to one of my friends here, and then he's, oh, I got you, that's what you meant. And I'm like, thank you.
Right? For me, just because so we're in AdFed together. We haven't even talked about AdFed. So.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. And I have been practicing how to describe to the graphics team because I do copywriting. I do a lot of the media plan. So I'm president of the AdFed. So I pretty much just do the writing stuff. And so for that writing, you need visuals. And how do I get flustered when I don't know, like, when I'm trying to speak. I really get frustrated. I stumble over myself. And especially when I have, like, a team of bright-eyed, creative people ready to do whatever I ask them to. And I just, like, start drawing stuff out with my hands. And I'm like, you feel me, you know? You guys understand me. And it's just really awesome to see you guys be able to make that jump when I lack the words.
It is hard to explain things with words sometimes because, like, we use graphics and stuff so much, you know? Like, I feel like we kind of rely on it now, like, especially with, like, social media. Like,
yeah.
So I think it's incredible to, like, work together and stuff, you know, because I mean, I'm minoring in PR and like advertising, so it's like kind of have to learn both in order, I feel like, to be successful. So
right, and I'm minoring in visual design actually.
No way.
Yeah, Karen was able to like mix around my schedule. Shout out Karen Hartman.
I have you this semester. I'm excited.
We love you. You are the PR queen. Yes. But yeah, she like modified my schedule so I can get a visual design minor on top of my PR degree. And
there you go.
And like I pretty much took the advertising classes. So you CMP is a great way to go.
Oh, absolutely.
Great department.
I love the department so much. I was kind of scared because CSI, everyone knew each other in the education department. And I was already starting to kind of like build those relationships in the one here. But then I was like, not for me, man, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And then we come here and like right before the COVID incident.
Yes, Miss Rona.
Miss Rona came to town. I was in a class with you and we met all our friends. Like,
yeah.
And it was probably one of the most enthralling classes. It was visual rhetoric taught by Dr. Betsy Brunner. And it was just so sad that we like had such a great community. Like we met so many people within the CMP department and then just done.
Yeah. No, that was my favorite class. Just learning about how to like look at images in a different way and how to interpret them. And some of the conversations we had, Dr. Brunner, man, we would talk about sensitive subjects like racism. Mm-hmm. And I remember these two people got into an argument, not like an argument, but like a little debate. The way she like kind of mediated it was so beautiful because it didn't turn ugly. It was just, it was a nice civil discussion. And I love that when I talk about issues and stuff that are sensitive to myself with other people. I really, really do try to educate because I don't believe in being hostile about it. You're not going to learn that way. Like no one learned from being hostile. Yeah. Education means coming out. But if you just kind of talk to people in a way so they can understand it, you know, not degrading them or anything, but I've had some like really nice conversations with people about sensitive topics, wearing a mask or Black Lives Matter, and to people who didn't understand it before, now they do, and their opinions have swayed a little bit. But I just think it's so important to be civil and be kind to one another. We all need it, especially now.
Especially now, and I think calmness is key
when
talking about these really intense topics. It's a lot of it's emotional, a lot of it is, it's just everywhere. But over the summer, I've learned to feel whatever I needed to feel, and then when it comes down to talking about it.
And I think it's important too, to do what you said, feel your emotions and stuff, because if you try to suppress it, think of it as like a Coke bottle, you know, if you keep it closed and you keep shaking it and keeping those feelings in, you're going to explode at the smallest thing. It is so healthy and important to talk about it, whether it be with a friend who can like mentally handle that, significant other or a counselor, or even your advisor if you're all that close. I don't know your guys' lives. So no, it's important because I mean, it's something that I'm still learning, you know, but we're getting there, and that's what matters.
And this year has been like a lot, or even if you didn't want to, we all kind of had to learn how to feel our emotions and learn how to be with ourselves and be with like the few people that we could have close to us. And even though it's been hard, like I feel like I'm coming into the school year with like, a new sense of gratefulness.
Oh, same.
And I'm really happy to be here. I'm really happy to be protected by the Bengal family during all this. Yeah, I'm really lucky to be writing this out here at ISU.
Oh, me too. And yeah, like with ASISU Senate, like we're going to help our students as much as we can because this is like a really scary time of uncertainty. I'm excited to be part of an organization that's going to help the student body so much. And I'm just excited to, you know, be here and serve my students once again. Not my students, but you know what I mean.
My students, your students, our students.
Go Bengals.
But go Bengals. So. Yeah, and you're such a capable woman.
Thank you.
Like, Senate and ASISU and ISU as a whole is so lucky to be having you on their team this
year. Stop, no.
Do you have any closing thoughts?
Oh, yeah, actually, ASISU, I'm working on a bill. Feel like you contracted COVID? Can't afford testing? Come to us. We will help you. It's so crazy how unpleasant the test is and how expensive it is too. And I know that, you know, a lot of students lost their jobs. I was on unemployment for a while, and it's not fun. So ASISU, we're here to help you out as much as you can. Please stop by our office. We moved, but we're still in the student union building. We're just not as far, so we're just right across from the copy room or copy center now on the second floor.
And your meetings, are you guys still doing it in person, right?
Yes. So we're meeting the same room.
The Shirley Sargent Senate room, which is on the third floor of the sub. It's the really pretty orange and black room. Shout out Jessica Sargent.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we're having those meetings on Wednesdays at 7. If you have a concern, like, it's open to the public. Like, please, come on by.
Let's go Bengals.
Ooh, we got this, you guys.
We got this. Thank you so much, Sam. It's been so fun to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. You and your beautiful self.
This is Nayeli Alvarez, and you have been listening to ASISU Speaks. Join us next week for another edition of ASISU Speaks on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. For more information and all episodes, visit kisu.org.